Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Nine News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I have a Milton story for you, but it's not Days of Our Milton drama. It's not really fair to play the Days of Our Milton when they're doing something smart, right? The whole point of the Days of Our Milton is that we're making fun of them for the ridiculous melodrama and the catfighting and all the kind of stuff, right? So when they do something smart, it's just not right to penalize them with the mockery. And in this case, I've got a story out of Milton that it is entertainingly weird, but not for the normal sorts of reasons. So this is my, like, kind of backing my way into this story to explain it to you. Ed Spears, who's a city manager, was talking at a recent, God help me, I watched the budget meeting. How did I get into watching these budget meetings? Like, I've always made the argument that, okay, I'm going to watch the main council, the main commission, the main, you know, and then every once in a while when I have to, I'm going to watch a zoning meeting. And I've started getting into watching the TDT meetings, God help me. But I'm not going to watch, like, the contractor competency board, you know? I'm not doing it. And in Santa Rosa, honestly, they do a lot of, like, the planning board meetings and the zoning. And like, it's really tempting because there's always something crazy at those meetings. And I'm like, not doing it. And somehow I found myself watching the budget meetings this year for everybody. I watched everybody's budget meetings this year, and I'm very disappointed in myself.
Why are you disappointed in yourself?
Because it's so much time.
I'm proud of you.
No, it's not. It's unhealthy. Anyway, so I'm watching the budget meeting, and Ed Spears, the city manager, gives this kind of update.
Earlier this year, we identified an opportunity with our gas utility. We currently have a one-year waiting list for installation of new gas services. Some 144 homes are waiting to become our customers. You asked me to analyze how we can get caught up and seize on the prospects of new customers. And I'm recommending in this budget the addition of a new gas service crew. This crew can complete installs and meet other gas service needs.
Okay. And you say, well, how is that a good start? Just wait for it. What have you learned over the 11 years, if you've been listening to me that whole time, or if you've been listening to me for a month? Hopefully what you've learned is, trust me.
Yes.
trust me, it's coming. And
you
know, a lot of times in radio, people are all hypey and promotions and, hey, I'm going to have this great thing coming up in 10 minutes. And you know that I really don't do that much. But you also know that if I do, it pays off, right? And usually I understate it, okay? So this is just kind of one of those fascinating stories. And it's a good story, okay? This is not a Milton looks bad story, sort of. You'll see why.
The process that I'm about to explain to you was initiated by Mayor Thompson some 3 or 4 city managers ago. It's the standard operating procedure, but it is not present in the city's fee schedule, which if you remember your sundial packet from 2 nights ago, the entire city fee schedule was in there. The cost of installation is not mentioned in the fee schedule for gas services.
Okay, so currently the financial agreements or charges in putting new gas customers on the utility, it's kind of a, I don't know, loosey-goosey, a little bit, you might say. Okay, and so he's like, well, just, I want you to understand, I didn't create this process. This process has been around, but it's also not really in a lot of the official fee schedules. So here goes. Here's how it actually works when you want to get hooked up to, what is the name of the utility? Is it just Milton Gas? Is it just Milton?
Milton Natural Gas.
Is it Milton Metro Gas? Okay, all right. Because in Pensacola, it's Pensacola Energy. You know, everybody's got their own little name. Okay, here goes. And see, it's an enterprise utility, so it's designed to make money for the city, even while it provides a service to the customer, right?
This is the process for which you become a natural gas customer. So, Mr. Overby, this is actually a real case study. Mr. Overby is now one of our customers, and he wanted connection to a gas service for a generator at his home. He pays a $35 administrative fee, and we send Mr. Rice or one of his crew out, and they estimate the amount of pipe it will take, the meters, all the fittings, having to bore under streets or driveways, all of the different aspects of what it will require to add Mr. Overby as a customer. We then, on the next page, look at our unit pricing for each one of the things there. You'll see 3 units of PE coupling, 1 unit of EFV, tap fee, a riser, gas shutoff valve, the regulator, the meter, the trenching services, the boring services. The total cost to add Mr. Overby, $6,122.93 for him to become a customer just for his generator.
Okay. Now, I know you think I'm making a play on words about boring services as we're talking about this subject, and you're like, good Lord, Andrew, this is why we don't watch the budget meetings, because this is literally the most boring service you've ever provided. Okay. Stay with me. $6,000. Headline takeaway. $6,000 to connect this guy so that he can have his generator on gas. Not his house, just his generator. Okay? And there's like a $35 shop fee to, you know, do the investigation, basically. All right, here's where it starts to get fascinating.
On the next page is the worksheet that our staff uses to calculate the cost that we will charge Mr. Overby to become our customer. So we estimate the service, the number of feet, the total cost, and then we look at what equipment Mr. Overby will be attaching at his home. And you see there, one generator. The estimated usage of a generator of natural gas is $20.80, and the monthly fee is $10, so it's $120. So our estimate for annual revenue for Mr. Overby is $140.80. The 5-year estimate, $704. We then subtract that from the $6,122, giving a net 5-year $5,418.93.
So if we do what everybody has been doing with the energy services in Milton, and we connect this person to the gas line, his generator, in the next 5 years, we will manage to successfully lose $5,500, which is not a great business model.
No, not at all.
So you charge them a fee to connect. That's the way you recoup some of that money, right? Well, how much do you charge them?
The policy of this city has been that we charge $100 per $1,000 of cost. So you'll see on the last page, Mr. Overby paid us $535 for us to spend $6,122 to connect his generator, which will generate $140 a year for us.
So, wait, as a municipality, it's a nice thing,
right,
to charge somebody only a fraction of what the service connection costs, and so we're going to charge him $540 for the privilege of losing $5,400 over the next 5 years.
It's so generous.
It's so kind. Yeah. Which obviously is not a great business model for generating, I mean, for an enterprise that's supposed to generate money, right?
I submit to you that this cannot continue. It would take Mr. Overby 43.7 years. to repay just the connection costs, and we haven't made a dime of profit at that point in time.
Oops.
We cannot sustain a company with this type of system. It may serve a purpose at a time when rapid growth was desired, but that time has passed.
Yeah, so not a great business model, and that's why Ed is bringing it up. He's saying, this is dumb. It's better for us as a city to just leave them off the grid, or the, what do you call it when it's a pipe and it's not electrical? I don't know if there's not a colloquial term for that, but we're going to leave them off the pipes.
And how long have they been doing this?
Well, you know, always. he says since at least, what was the name of the is it Benson? Is that the mayor he mentioned right at the beginning? He mentioned a former Milton mayor right at the beginning. I forget which one it was. But okay, so he says,
I will be bringing to you an installation fee schedule that will allow the city to reasonably recuperate the cost to connect to our system and to realize the benefits of actual customers. And that cost will have to begin at cost. And we can look at discounts for seniors, for military, for the number of appliances you are connecting. I do realize that this will reduce demand. When we go to a customer like Mr. Overby and say to connect your generator, it will cost you $6,000. He might not be a natural gas customer at that point in time. And that's okay. There are other customers connecting more appliances that would be more profitable to our utility.
Yeah, it's okay not to lose $5,500 a pop. it's actually preferable. Now, I think what I wish Ed would have done, and he didn't, is I wish he would have gone through an example of a residential utility where they're connecting their whole house to gas, because presumably, you know, the $20 a year for a generator, you know, a house is going to use significantly
the water heater,
more.
Yeah.
Right, there's going to be a lot more. But even there, you know, you're starting to look at, I mean, what's a gas bill in Milton for an average house? I'm just, you know, spiffballing, but $100 a month, maybe 150, probably not 200, I wouldn't think, on average across the whole year. So even there, you know, you're talking about 1,000 to 2,000-ish is sort of your range on a year. Now, if you do that math over 5 years and they spend, say, $6,000 to $10,000 or $12,000 over that time and it costs you $6,000 to connect them, you have actually made some kind of a profit. You probably haven't done as well as you think because the cost of the gas versus the service. I mean, you're still not super profitable yet, but, you know, there's something a little more reasonable about that. Again, that's working on the 10% repayment method that, you know, whatever the cost is, the customer who connects is going to pay 10% and the city's going to pay 90%. And he's just saying, look, we need to come up with a better system. We need a system that more accurately reflects the cost of connection. You don't necessarily have to make it the full cost of connection, but you probably ought to make it some more reasonable fraction than 10%. So I bring this story up only because when I first heard this, I thought, yeah, no, that's not a great policy. And Ed, the new city manager, gosh, new for a year now, almost 6 months. I forget when Randy retired. I guess it's been about a year that he's been, yeah. So there's been so much drama over the city manager and the Scott Collins and the everything of it that it's a little mushy in my head, the exact dates, but I think that's about right. I think it was about June of last year where Randy retired, but I could be wrong about that. Anyway, so this is a good thing. It's identifying a weakness in the system and proposing a remedy to fix it that some people are probably going to scream about. $5,000 to put a pipe to my generator. Well, sir, here's why, you know. I don't think somebody might complain they wish they got a better deal or they wish they got the old deal, but they can't really complain they're getting an unfair deal based on the numbers. And I appreciate that. I thought that was actually good. See, it's not a make fun of Milton story. It's more of a, hey, there's something really weird going. And listen, I would wager that other utilities, gas utilities, water utilities, sewer utilities, probably have similar things in the way they do business. You know, some charge the customer, some may not, some it's a proportion, but anything where you're connecting a set of pipes from a main system to a house, there's going to be costs. And we know, like, putting people on sewer is much better than having them on a septic system. But somebody's got to pay that cost. In fact, that's one of the reasons why having grants that fund the connection of, say, whole neighborhoods is really great, because it's, you know, somebody else's money. I mean, it's our money, really, because it's grants come from somewhere, but, you know, it's usually from taxes to some agency like the federal government or the state. But still, you know, it's not making that person pay and not making the local utility or the local government pay. So, yeah, I just thought it was a fascinating story about, you know, finding something kind of, you know, not exactly right. Also, this is, I only tell you this because if you live in Milton, you probably know. If you don't live in Milton, you may not. But it was a reminder to me that, you know, how City of Pensacola has been going through this all recycling. And which, by the way, we have really good recycling news. I don't know if I'll have a good time to share that with you right now. Maybe I will. Anyway, what does recycling in the city of Milton look like? John, you're our expert.
There really isn't any.
That's it. It doesn't exist.
Last year, you made the decision to end curbside recycling and advance the purchase of 2 garbage trucks to replace an aging fleet. Both choices have resulted in cost savings and operational improvements, and I thank you.
Yeah, So you just gave up. Which, by the way, is probably the right choice.
It was the best idea.
Yeah, because with contamination rates, with the low cost of reselling recyclables, you know, everybody got excited during the recycling boom. And now they're like, why do we do this anymore? Which I know for those of you who like to feel like you're doing your part for the landfill and the environment, then, you know, not being able to recycle is frustrating. But it's that feel good may not be financially valid. You know, EC Waste spends $550 to take away a truckload of glass. We spend $550 per truckload to get rid of the glass that we go out of our way to collect. Now, it saves money in the landfill and the tipping fee. I get it. There's a lot to it. But still, it's not what you think it is. I mentioned to you that there was good news in Pensacola. We'll talk about this more with the mayor. But the first data on the recycling under the new system where you have to pay for the can, you have to opt in to get the can to recycle. It's the once a week and all that. 24,000 pounds of recyclables in the first week. Actually, it's like the first 4 or 5 days. Cardboard is 45% at 10,000 pounds. Paper is 16% at 4,000 pounds. Plastic is about 15% at 4,000 pounds. Aluminum cans and et cetera cans, about 10% at 2,400 pounds. Glass, which you're not supposed to collect in the city, but which they do and ECUA does recycle, is 7% at 1,600 pounds. And contaminants. The contamination rate had been, I think it was like 40 or 50%. It might have been higher, but it was like, you know, things that can't be recycled. We're not talking about sauce in your Ragu jar. We're talking about, because that does not matter. We're talking about, you know, people put a bowling ball or they put styrofoam or eggs. Just stuff that it's garbage, but they put it in the recycling can. It had been high, you know, like I think it was like 40 or 50%. And the goal was to get it at least below 25, 10%, 2,400 pounds.
Wow.
That is
huge.
Fantastic improvement. So, yeah, at least the early returns on recycling in the city of Pensacola are the current program actually works. Yay! You can recycle. And I think their number is, I think they're up around 10 or 15% of the customers now, something like that. Anyway, we'll talk with the mayor about that coming up this morning, 7:35. 5:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Saturday, August 16th, come to the Sneak Peek Land Sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50-plus acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. That's right, get 20 to 50-plus acres in Baldwin County from just $139.9 with excellent financing available. Ranches at Creekside Preserve features private large acreage tracts with beautiful woodlands, rolling meadows, and a peaceful creek, all surrounded by pristine natural beauty and abundant wildlife. It's your opportunity to live in Baldwin County, Alabama, one of the fastest growing coastal counties in the U.S. due to low taxes and a low cost of living. Don't miss out. Come to the Sneak Peek Land Sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 plus acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. Call 877-888-1415 or visit creeksidepreserveal.com. creeksidepreserveal.com.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery. So he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What's happening out there?
He's winning. I see three of them out there.
Hit the one in the middle.
Right.
Hit the one in the middle.
Yeah.
You got this, Rock. 5:28 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Hey, we don't have a big storm off the coast today. Well, over in Louisiana they do. Anyway, I was trying to give you good news. It's been every single day, it seems like. And then we had that ferocious downpour yesterday afternoon. David Wayne knows all about that firsthand. How was the rain yesterday, David?
Oh, that's the wettest I've ever been. It was terrible.
You were out to cover National Night Out with the cops. Yeah. And I saw them surfing on the rainy grass. I saw that yesterday online.
Yeah, it was a really cool event until the rain came in. And then, boy, there were hundreds of people. And people were parked way out into the, way out into the overflow parking lots, you know, way back. And
overflow is a funny term.
That rain hit, and there were just hundreds of people just sopping wet, running for their vehicles. It was crazy.
Where's the video of that? That sounds entertaining. All right. Anyway, what else is going on, sir?
Well, President Trump says crime in Washington, D.C. requires a federal takeover. This after a former Doge staffer was reportedly assaulted. President Trump posted on Truth Social that crime in D.C. is out of control. He said if the city doesn't fix the issue, he'll have no choice but to take federal control of the city. The Boeing strike is now in its third day. More than 3,000 workers went on strike on Monday after rejecting the contract offer from Boeing. Union members say they want higher pay and changes to time off and retirement benefits. And the state health offices are out with a new warning about raw milk. After more than 20 people, including 6 kids, got sick from consuming it, 7 people were hospitalized after drinking unpasteurized milk. From the same farm, the state health department says raw milk can carry harmful bacteria and cause serious gastrointestinal illness.
All right. Well, you know what they call the Department of Health here in the state of Florida, though, right?
Hello?
Hi.
No!
Because it's the Department of Health. So it's literally...
No!
I'm CJ Papa. President Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff in Moscow at this hour, a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. This happening days before President Trump's deadline to reach a peace deal or face severe economic penalties that could also hit countries buying Russian oil. Democrats in Texas preventing Republicans from voting on changing the congressional map. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson has more on what former President Obama posted on X.
We can't lose focus on what matters right now. Republicans in Texas are trying to gerrymander district lines to unfairly win 5 seats in next year's midterm elections. This is a power grab that undermines our democracy.
Progressive activist Katie Wilson will face off against incumbent Democratic Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell in November's general election. They grabbed the top 2 spots in Tuesday nonpartisan mayoral primary. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 75, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Last week, a man in Walnut Hill was arrested, and this happened after investigators said they found homemade explosives and guns with defaced serial numbers at his home. The investigation started, though, when 26-year-old Joshua Hardy shot himself while doing some type of training with an AK-47 on his property.
And ultimately we find out he had some violations regarding the firearm itself. We did charge him with some of the stuff that he had. I don't have the list of all the firearms that he had, but we seized quite a few firearms that were illegal to be in his possession, and we're working with ATF to determine whether there are additional federal charges that might be brought against him.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, he said Hardy was jumping around in foxholes on that property when he shot himself in the leg. When deputies served a search warrant at the residence, they said they found illegal weapons and an OP4, or enemies list. Hardy remains in the Escambia jail facing felony charges for the weapons and the explosives. Well, members of the Navy and Marines no longer allowed in 2 local businesses. NAS Pensacola Commander Captain Chandra Newman has banned sailors and Marines from Wild Greggs in downtown Pensacola and the Faro Store on Gulf Beach Highway. That decision was made after a vote from the base's Armed Forces Disciplinary Control Board. A federal judge hearing a request for a preliminary injunction to stop all activity at Florida's Alligator Alcatraz Immigrant Detention Facility, that's the one in the Everglades, and until an environmental impact study can be performed. Friends of the Everglades, Eve Samples, says federal law requires the government to look before it leaps, making sure that what it does doesn't cause more harm than good.
Each passing week, there's more harm posed to the Everglades in terms of wetland damage, light pollution, endangered species threats.
And she says not only does it require an evaluation, but it would also seek alternatives and public input. The judge did deny an earlier request to issue an order immediately. Well, deputies in Palm Beach County are credited with preventing a possible active shooter situation. The sheriff's office there said a suspicious man was seen outside of Palm Beach International Airport yesterday. Well, deputies confronted that man and say they found an AR-15 and a fully loaded magazine, knives, and a machete in his vehicle. He was taken into custody without incident. Deputies identified the man as Palm Beach Gardens Michael Rodriguez. He now faces charges, including possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. He's held in jail now without bond. And today's a big day for the Lake Mary Little League team in Seminole County. Their softball team is competing in the Little League Softball World Series in North Carolina. They beat New England yesterday 9-0 in the purple bracket to stay alive in the tournament. They play Washington today at 1 o'clock this afternoon on ESPN2. Meanwhile, the Lake Mary baseball team can make it back to the World Series with a win today. They'll play South Carolina in the Southeast Regional Championship game in Georgia. That also starts at 1 o'clock on ESPN. It is 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have scattered showers and thunderstorms today, 70% chance of rain, high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Thursday, 60% chance of rain, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Going into Friday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 89 and a low near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
75, partly cloudy, our next news. At 6 o'clock, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. AMD has reported quarterly earnings that missed expectations. The company trails NVIDIA in the market for graphics processing units. Big customers such as Meta and OpenAI are increasingly looking to AMD to provide an alternative to NVIDIA's chips, especially for inference or when AI models are deployed to the public. CNBC reports OpenAI is in talks to conduct a secondary share sale at $500 billion. Earlier this year, the company announced a financing round led by SoftBank at a $300 billion valuation. OpenAI also recently released two open weight language models meant to serve as lower cost options. Sales of Novo Nordisk's blockbuster Wegovy obesity drug rose 67% in the second quarter, despite continued competition from compounded drug makers. The pharma giant previously cut its full year guidance and named Mike Doustdar as its new CEO. It also said it would cut costs and sharpen its commercial focus after the company's share price has taken a beating. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused? Visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games. Plus, weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
You know, we became a 207G, which 287G, which basically means some of our deputies can serve warrants toward ICE federal warrants.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go through a program and then they can serve warrants. And we've got 30 something. I sent out an email to these guys saying, come work for us. Work for an agency with integrity, and we'll pay you $50,000 bonus. That's what they did. Sent it to all the deputies, 287 qualified in the state of Florida.
So they used it as a recruiting tool for them?
Yes. After we stepped up and said, we will help you, after they asked for our help.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson talking to me yesterday. You've heard David mention this several times in the news. Let's start there with Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, by the way, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. Good to have you. You also have deputies that have participated in this program where they've gotten certified or trained by ICE, right?
Yes.
Did they get the letters of finally they can come work for an agency with integrity and get $50,000 as a bonus?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I heard what Sheriff Johnson, Bob and I and the First Circuit sheriffs have been communicating about this and our displeasure with this tactic that was used. And again, it's one of those things where they asked us to help. We provided them with names and business emails, sheriff's office email addresses to get this certification. Honestly, went through a bunch of hoops to help them.
Yeah.
And then in what I think is very poor form, they decide to send emails to those ones, the ones that they, you're biting the hand that feeds you is what you're doing. And what I find that it's even worse is that they did not send these emails to the state officers. They didn't send them to the troopers that were certified.
Really?
They didn't send them to the FDLE agents that were certified because they knew, in my mind, they knew that the governor wouldn't take kindly to that.
Wow.
But they didn't give a darn about the locals, the sheriff's office and the municipalities. So they sent these emails trying to recruit them away after we allowed them to take this training to help them. It's just poor form. It's a poor reflection on the partnership. It's very important. So we're going to continue to work with our ICE partners, but this is going to be difficult to forget.
And it's not like they sent it to you and said, hey, if any of your officers want to come work for us, we have a pretty good program. If you feel like sharing with them, they went directly to the people that you had brought to them to help. And I assume, right, it was working around you guys basically to get.
Yeah, it's basically said, now that you've got some training and you've proven that you want to be, you know, a partner with us, why don't you come work for us instead?
Mm.
Which again would ultimately, if anyone was to leave, would take from the local law
right.
enforcement contingent and put them into an ICE, ICE employment status. And that's not going to help anybody.
Do you happen to know? I mean, it's hard to turn down $50,000 bonus. Do you have deputies leaving? Do you know?
Well, as I understand it, the $50,000 bonus is $10,000 a year with a 5-year contract. That's
okay.
What I understand.
So, I gotcha.
I chose not to work for a federal agency. I wanted to be a local law enforcement. I wanted to to work for my community. And we give our own recruitments, Bill. You can do anything at the sheriff's office. You can be on a SWAT team. You can be a narcotics. You can be an investigator. You can be a homicide investigator. You can be on our dive team, our boat team. You can do a number of different things. And so I can't imagine someone wanting to leave the employment of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office to go work for ICE.
Okay. So, but do you know of anybody that's...
No, I'm not aware of anyone that is looking at...
So
I mean,
more...
they may not tell me.
You're right.
They may not say, Sheriff, I'm out until it's too late.
But I mean, that was my first blush reaction was, oh my God, how many are we losing? You know, but it's
possible. But ultimately we provide I think the citizens of Escambia County provide a very competitive salary now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a great thing going. We got a lot of momentum at the sheriff's office. Things are going very well. And my hope is that the people that we put so much time and effort into,
yeah.
and we train our own now, that they will want to stick around. And so far they have done so.
Well, that's good news. I mean, that's really good news. A couple of cases, as we often do. Josh Hardy, who was tromping around in the fields by his house, stepped in a hole, shot himself with an AK-47, as happens.
Hopefully it doesn't happen very much.
I don't know. It's never happened to me, but I mean, you know, whatever. But that led to some other stuff, right?
Yeah, basically this guy's jumping around in what's described as foxholes. I guess he's doing his own training type of thing on his own property, but he ends up shooting himself with an AK-47, doing some rather extensive damage as can happen when you shoot yourself with an AK.
Yeah, that's a high powered weapon for sure.
Some very really substantial injuries to his leg, and ultimately we find out he had some violations regarding the firearm itself. We did charge him with some of the stuff that he had. I don't have the list of all the firearms that he had, but we seized quite a few firearms that were illegal to be in his possession, and we're working with ATF to determine whether there are additional federal charges that might be brought against him.
But this is also the indications like plans to hurt people, improvised explosives, a variety of other, beyond just possession of guns he shouldn't have had.
Yeah, and there's supposed to have been I haven't seen it, but a letter with a hit list or a mm-hmm. hate list or whatever you want to call it. And someone was asking me the other day whether we would notify people. Well, yes, if we think that people are on a list, as part of the investigation itself, we would determine why would you be on this list?
What kind of
contact would you have, so we can let them know that, or maybe get more information, more evidence on the existing investigation. We would and have certainly done that if it were a legitimate list, if it was something that we felt like someone was might be in peril.
You also had a case of, I kind of laughed the name, Lucky Lily. Is that right?
Who a real name.
Was not as lucky in the end, led your deputies through a chase that apparently didn't just go through the parking lot at the Walmart, but went into the Walmart on Mobile Highway. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, so this guy was breaking into cars.
Why is it always Walmart? Why is Walmart such a nexus of bad behavior? Is it just because it's a lot of people go to Walmart? Is that all it is?
I don't know.
It's weird, right? I mean, y'all are stationed on your hood drive. One is right across from the Walmart. So
exactly.
Anyway,
exactly.
Go on. Okay, so what happened here?
This guy's a car burglar and a shoplifter. So he had broken into a car, used that card that he stole, and then he did it again a couple of days later to a different car. And then ultimately we had determined him to be the suspect. Our deputies have been working it and found out that, hey, this is the guy, and we had warrants in this guy. And then it so happened, he goes back into Walmart, changes into their Walmart clothes.
He's an employee?
No. The clothes that were being sold at Walmart.
Oh.
It was their clothes
to
buy.
Got it.
So, and then he gets a drink, and he tries to walk out. A deputy approaches him, who's working off duty at the location. He darts, for lack of a better word, back inside the store. We're chasing him. Ends up bumping into a customer. I think knocked the customer down. And then we ultimately arrested Lucky and charged him with all this stuff.
Lucky.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, I guess
you had a pretty frustrating development. The case of Daniel Hux, who had shot one of your deputies.
Right. He shot at two of them, struck one of them four times, yes.
And was then Baker acted, I guess. And
well, we
also,
charged him.
Yeah, charged right. And Baker acted. But then now is getting transferred to what we think is maybe a lower security facility. And it's not, some of the details here aren't 100% clear, but you were not in support of this.
No, I'm not in support of this. He, He was sane enough to have called 911 and trying to get ambulance crew or deputies. And I think he ultimately got both. But the deputies responded to the actual house because it was a little suspicious. And he laid in wait. And when we opened up the door, he just started firing at two deputies and struck one four times, once in the head. The deputy was lucky to be alive. We ended up charging him with attempted murder.
By the way, just to be clear, this is he called them in order to shoot at them.
Yes.
Yeah.
He called them pretending to need them, and then he started firing at them. We returned fire, and I think we struck him as well. In fact, I know we did. But again, non-life-threatening. He was sent to a mental hospital about a year and a half ago. There was a conversation whether they should let him into a less restrictive facility. I wrote a letter asking, hey, please don't do this. This guy is a danger to our community. I thought it was my job, not only to our deputies, he's a danger to others. He's a danger to EMS, fire, whoever responds, or to any citizen that might encounter him.
Right.
And I'm not sure, as I was saying, it was because of the letter I wrote, but ultimately he was sent back to the state hospital.
Good.
And now, as I understand it, they're going to, I guess, downgrade him or put him in a lower level.
Yeah, they say he does not meet the criteria for incarceration at the mental hospital or whatever facility they had him in, right?
Yeah, my criticism is more at the system itself that doesn't allow for an individual of this caliber to remain maybe hospitalized, but in a secure hospital for what I think should be the rest of your life. In this particular case, I don't know what do you expect him to do? And just because he may not be of a mental capacity doesn't mean he gets off from the crime that he did. If you're right. If you're extremely drunk or on drugs and you commit a crime, you don't get off because I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I'm not downplaying a need for a mental assistance that this individual might need or other individuals might need. I'm purely saying, as the sheriff of Escambia County, that I think that this individual in a less secure facility, and again, I don't know what that really means, but it's less secure than the doors being locked and he can't wander out.
Yeah.
I just think that if he's returned in whatever reduced capacity of incarceration, I think that could potentially be a problem.
And I mean, I've always been of the opinion that if somebody needs to get treatment, that's fine for the duration that makes sense. But if he no longer meets the criteria for being Baker Acted and incarcerated in a secure mental health facility, well, we can just move him to the regular jail.
Try him. And
yeah,
right.
Yeah, right. Because if he did the crime, then try him, move him to the regular jail where, we keep people who shoot at cops.
Exactly.
Who shoot cops. I mean, that's...
I just think ultimately, had he been successful in his attempt to kill one of our deputies, then was he going to be allowed to just wander around
in a
less secure facility? Again, I don't know, to be all honest, exactly what that means. Does that mean he's not allowed to leave the house, but there's no bars To me, there needs to be bars. To me, there needs to be zero opportunity for this individual to be out and do more harm to a community.
I know it's not your jurisdiction, and I know that since you're the sheriff and not the chief of police, you may feel free to not comment, but the story about NAS Pensacola and Wild Greggs, you've seen, I'll just carte blanche, anything you want to say about that or about Wild Greggs or about behavior, or, feel free, whatever you want to say. I'm just, I hadn't been intending to ask you this, but you mentioned bars, and I was thinking of a different kind of bar, so...
No, I'll be honest. I don't know exactly what they're claiming takes place at Wild Greggs. Again, it's a bar.
Well, they're saying
downtown.
Underage drinking and drugs and cocaine and sex acts in the bathrooms, and that's that's what the PNJ says. Mama Sun said. So
the only thing I can say is that I know that the military evaluates these rather extensively. Mm-hmm. I've been on the Military Affairs Committee for a number of years. Or I was on that, and I know that this is not the first time that they've put a particular location, what I'll call off limits,
right,
to their sailors and the people under their command, and obviously they don't take that lightly either. I know that they have many conversations. So, but I can't comment because I wasn't privy to the conversations that led to this particular off limits type of a characterization. So. I can't help you with that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Last thing is we're talking. This is another conversation we're having with Bob Johnson yesterday. he was saying that they're having lots of construction site thefts, air conditioners, things like that. People stealing, you know, historically they steal copper, they resell it, they scrap, whatever. But I was wondering if you have seen that as well. And I had somebody text in and said they thought they had seen at one of our neighborhood construction areas with one of your camera arrays, you know, your park trailer to, you know, discourage and to observe, right? Is that true?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that we've had an uptick in it. I think that there has been, anytime you have a lot of construction, and specifically, I guess, in Escambia and in Santa Rosa County, with a lot of the growth that we're seeing here, there's so many construction sites, there are people that are going to take advantage of that. But I can't say that we've had an increase in okay. construction crimes. But you did mention, and I was going to mention also, that we have our mobile cameras that we place at some large construction site. Certainly if we think that someone tried to break into something or tried to pick up it, a lot of times they will, then when they put refrigerators and washers and dryers in his house, they lay them there, and then someone else installs them. And you know, a lot of times there's some inside information, you know, that there's a Whirlpool or whatever kind of appliance that might be in a garage of an unsecured, you know, brand new house in the middle of construction, and they go pick those up. But we'll put our cameras out there and try to deter that sort of thing.
Good.
But I can't tell you that we've had an increase in that.
And we're totally out of time, but can people request the deterrent camera? I don't forget what you call it.
You can request anything. But okay. Yeah. No, but what we like to do is work with people.
I got you.
And say,
okay.
Hey,
so we'll find a solution to your problem.
Yeah, and if there's a camera available, that's what we want them for.
Okay.
If you have we can't do it forever, but we certainly can. We did it for the Pensacola Beach with great success. We do it for the Interstate Fair with great success. We've loaned them out to City of Pensacola and the Pensacola Police Department during some of their parades. So people can certainly contact us, and we'll determine what's best. Sometimes it's our deterrence van or our nuisance van, and sometimes it's the portable or the mobile cameras.
And if somebody's got a 16-year-old daughter they think is sneaking out the back window at night, well, we can put a sheriff's vehicle in the backyard and discourage the behavior.
Well, I mean, you can buy room cameras for that also.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, there's other solutions. All right, you'll help them figure out a solution. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time. I appreciate it, and really appreciate all the work that y'all do. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Y'all take care.
Yeah, I appreciate all the things. No, but I really do, actually. Sometimes I say a thing too much. It's all right. Hey, if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great quality source of good used vehicles. Cars that are a year or two or three, maybe 4 years young. You know, not much older than that, because what they're going to do is they're going to sell you a car that is, and you're not going to be the first owner. Okay, it is a used car. But I always say kind of almost new, because, again, you'll be the second owner most of the time, maybe the third. But you're going to get cars that are going to last to 100,000 miles, 10 years, because they warranty them at least that far. And, you know, you can count on it. So you don't pay that first mile depreciation hit, right? When you drive a new car off the lot, you pay a lot to get the new car smell. And at Frontier, you don't get the new car smell, but you get a good quality car. That's what you can count on. And, you know, I know we bought a Honda Odyssey from them. Gosh, it's been a while now, but we bought a 7 years, something like that, 8 years ago. And it was just such an easy experience. That's why I talk about them all the time, because we went to test drive a car and we wound up buying a car because the price was great. The car was great. It was the unicorn, we used to call it. It was hard to find one to even test drive, let alone to buy. And so, you know, because they were in high demand at that time, and they still are in high demand, and we just bought it. And it was easy, and we got all done, and we're like, thanks. I mean, it was so simple. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Summer Restaurant Week, Jackson's and Julia, a festive Ferragosto celebration, Atlas Beverage Class, and the world is your oyster. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Good morning, guys. I just want to warn you, traffic is tough out there.
We are here for you to tell you how to keep safe.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can.
To provide the music, talk, and sports you love. And to deliver the news that matters to you. We are the voices you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Tomorrow at 9 a.m., the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Mathnasium to the studio. If you have school-aged children, Adana Elder will be in the studio to enlighten you on the Mathnasium method. Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. At Mathnasium, they are changing lives through math. So don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 with Mathnasium.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
That's my wife, crone.
Just wait, Andrew. We gotta have the. Oh, do we have time for the payoff?
No.
We don't have time. But you don't need it from me. You know it. You know it. You don't have to repeat it. Everybody knows it. It's the best branding ever for a phone number. It's fantastic. Best jingle for a business if only they'd managed to make it for a business, which they did not. David Wayne, I won't even force you to try to put a story in here. I do have something coming up. Got a chance to tour one of the local manufacturing facilities here in Pensacola that employs about 200 people yesterday. Very interesting. I'll tell you all about it coming up next.